Help! We suck at being newlyweds.
With Dean Ungler,
Kaylin Miller Keys,
and Jared Haven,
an iHeartRadio podcast. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to an all new episode of Help! We suck at being newlyweds. I am joining you from Jackson Hole. Dean will be joining us shortly. And Jared, where are you, in Rhode Island?
Oh yeah, of course. Well, not. I shouldn't say of course. I was just in Dallas, traveling the world, really.
Right.
So the title of this podcast made me think, do you guys, now you're a month in, do you suck at being newlyweds?
I'd say some days, for sure.
What does it mean to suck as being a newlywed?
That's a good question. I mean, you would know better than me, as you've been married for longer.
Yeah, but you're in the midst of it. You're living it.
Yeah.
I'm past my prime.
You know, I don't know. It's usually good, and you know, you like come off of a high from the wedding, so it's hard to say right now.
Have you gotten any pictures?
Oh yeah, from the wedding?
Yeah, do you have all the pictures?
Yeah, we have all of them. We're just waiting on the full video, but we have everything else.
That's going to be very nice. The greatest thing about the pictures and the videos are that it just takes you immediately back into that moment that you never want to ever forget. So that's the nice thing. You have all these, because you do come off the high of the wedding, but then you have all these things that just kind of keep coming up, that just keep reminding you of them. And now, so after the pictures and the videos, then you'll start seeing friends that you haven't seen since the wedding. And then you're going to be reminiscing about it. And you're like, that feels good. You know, that's the good part. It's like, you're going to see a friend like, oh my God, I haven't seen you since the wedding. You're like, oh, we get to talk about it all over again. This is amazing.
I know. I saw one of my girlfriends last week, Tori, who gave a speech at the wedding, and she was just filling me in on all the things that I missed. And I was like, whoa, a lot went down that I was unaware of. So that was fun. And just hearing like what they did during the like off time, you know, like hiking and fishing and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was beautiful over there. My biggest memory is the fact that Ben and Wells definitely went to bed probably 9 p.m. on the night of the wedding because they were so drunk.
Yeah, Ben, and they danced so hard.
They just disappeared, because for a good hour, I was like, where the hell is Ben and Wells? And then I realized that they definitely are passed out right now, because I went inside, not looking for them, but just, you know, the movement of the wedding led me to different parts of the venue. And I was like, I kept thinking, I was like, I haven't seen either one of those guys, because we were leaving so early in the morning. I knew that we weren't going to be able to say bye to anybody the next morning. We were out of there by like 6 a.m. because our flight left at 7 or something like that. Mm. So yeah, that's
wait,
what
how I'm did you guys leave? Because you guys rode with Tanya, right?
But we rented a car. So we,
oh, okay.
Shout out to the app Turo. This app is phenomenal. All the rental cars were gone in Aspen. Couldn't find one. The only car was like this black car that was like $1,500 for the 3 days. Obviously, jeez, we're not going to do that. Ubers were really hard to get. We got an Uber from the airport to the hotel the night we flew in, but it took like 25 minutes to get it. And then the next day, we were trying to find Ubers and we just couldn't find any. We're like, how the hell are we going to get to this venue? And Tanya and her fiance were flying in, and they were like, we're just going to take an Uber, but now we don't know what we're going to do because we're in contact with them. And then shout out to Turo. I forget who said it, but they were like, yeah, try this app, see what happens. Got the car, got there. So because Tanya rode back with, I think, Becca and Haley.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we used Turo once in Hawaii. I think when Dean proposed, we used Turo. And it's pretty nice. It's like someone else's car.
It's the
best. Is that the one where it's someone else's car?
Yeah, it's like Uber for cars. He showed up right to our hotel, dropped it off. And I was like, okay, I felt like I was doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Because there's not that much of a process. You just have to scan your license. Mm-hmm. I feel like with renting a car, I have to sign my life away. There's so many papers
I have
to
sign. And it's so hard.
It's so hard.
And it was so nice too, because our guy just dropped us off at the airport in Hawaii. And I was like, this is great. This is so much better than going to the rental spot, then going on a shuttle to the airport. Mm-hmm. And Dean's been talking about renting his car out for F1, Formula One. Because I bet.
Wait, what?
I don't know how many people are going to be renting cars for Formula One, but Formula One is in like 3 weeks.
Oh, I totally misunderstood that, because I was like, what do you mean that he's going to rent it out to Formula One?
What race?
What kind of car does Dean have that I'm unaware of?
Yeah, he hasn't done any action on that.
Dude, you walked over and you looked like my dog waking up in the morning, just like, oh yes.
Yeah, thanks. I've already showered this morning. I feel pretty good, but it's good to know I look like shit. Actually, I did have the worst sleep of my life last night. So maybe that has something to do with it. But it's okay. It's good to know I look like shit. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. Well, here's the thing. This is why I never feel bad about saying Dean doesn't look good.
Oh, yeah,
because
Dean not looking good.
Oh, please. Like, he's not aware of this fact. Dean not looking good. And Kaylin, you're in the same boat where if you guys don't look good, you're still an 8 out of 10. You know, you're like, you on your worst days are an 8.
That's not true, but thank you.
Oh, it's very true. Because I've noticed, Kaylin, I'm going to say something. I don't know how like to... It's always weird talking about females, but you're not wearing any makeup, are you?
Correct. I never do on the podcast.
I did just look at our big screen. I do look like I just rolled out of bed. So I apologize.
Don't apologize. I love every second of it. But Kaylin, I was going to say, I think you are... you're so naturally beautiful.
Thank you. You
weren't wearing any makeup. I don't know why. Maybe it was just because of the warning. But when you came on the Zoom... I was like, Kaylin looks great. I mean, you always look great, obviously. Maybe I'm just imagining you at the wedding. It's not a flirtatious thing. Like, this is all platonic. But isn't it so hard to tell someone that, like, because you want to give them compliments. Like, of course I want to give you compliments, both of you, because you're both great people and you're both very good looking. But it's always weird giving compliments to the opposite sex. I could say Dean is sexy all day and no one thinks twice about it. Dude, bro, I'm saying you're sexy now, okay? I'm flirting with you.
Well, Jared, yeah, we appreciate the compliments, man, but we do look like shit. And it's funny to... I look like shit. And it's funny because you still are glowing from your Austin experience.
I don't know about that. I'm so pale now. My spray tan went away. It's very sad.
I disagree with you. I think you look good. The hair's a little messier. The scruff's a little scruffier. But yeah, yeah, you're welcome, dude. You're beautiful. What do you want to talk about today?
What do I want to talk about today? You know, that's a
lot.
I'm just
looking at the email here. Yeah. Well, let's look at this real quick. So I'll ask you a couple questions that our great producers put on this email for us real quick. You got such great positive feedback and well wishes from fans after your announcement on the pod last week. How does that feel?
It feels great. A lot of people come into Audrey's and they know about our lives, and it's very humbling. And everybody always says, like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be creepy. I'm sure you guys get it all the time too, where they just follow along and they know a lot of things. But we also put it on social media for that purpose. Like, the reason we post about it is not just for ourselves, it's for everybody else who's following along on this journey. So the fact that there's so many people who are aware of Ashley and I's baby making story is pretty cool. So it's great. Yeah, Dawson is in his prime right now. Dude, he's cool. He's like the only person I want to hang out with now. He's so happy. He's so happy. And we're in such a great stage with him. It makes me look forward to having another to get to that point. Because, like, we all remember the infant stage, Ashley and I do. And listen, I love baby Dawson. He was the cutest thing ever, but damn, that was hard. And the idea of doing that all over again, especially on Ashley. I mean, she's the one who's going nine. Dude, it sucks for the mom. Like, it's the greatest, obviously. You get to carry life inside you. It's such a blessing. But damn, you have to be pregnant for 9 months, 10 months, I think, technically speaking. And just like your body is just... I mean, your body. I don't even need to go in the description. Everybody knows what happens to your body when you're pregnant. And then you give birth and you're like, whew, that's over. Okay, now I have to raise this little one. And it's like, oh, man. At least, like, I don't have to go through the pregnancy part. It's a very big blessing. But, yeah, it's great. So it's cool. Dawson is just killing the game. He loves sports. He loves sports.
Are you sure he loves sports or you just are, like, projecting that onto him?
Dude, he's the one. He grabs the ball. He throws it all the time. Ball. Anytime, like, he'll point to the screen. Football. Football. because he'll see a picture. And then, like, we have a Sports Illustrated 2001 Patriots book, and he'll bring it over to me. He'll go, football, football. I'm like, yeah, bro, football. And then he has a little hockey set now. Grandpa got for him two little hockey sticks and a little net. Dude, he freaks out. He just loves hitting the ball. And we're like, goal! And he starts screaming because it's so funny how Ashley was known for this laugh cry where she's laughing and then she starts crying and then she's laughing and crying at the same time. Dude, Dawson does the same thing. I don't know if it's just a baby thing or if it's because he came from Ashley, but he'll get so excited. He's like, ha, 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 ha. It's like, you don't know if he's crying or laughing. He's so excited. And then he'll just like bite things because he just like can't contain himself. I'm like, bro, that's pretty cool.
And you're going to have another one of those running around pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, boy, girl. I mean, Ashley doesn't care if it's boy or girl, care either. I mean, I'd prefer a girl just because I would like Ashley to have a girl, and girls apparently are easier. Watch, I'm going to get so many DMs from people being like, oh, really, the girl's easier? And then they'll just tell me horror stories. But I've heard from the masses that girls are usually easier up to a certain point because they're just calmer. My niece was and is much easier than Dawson. Like when we go out to dinner with her, she sits. Dawson does not sit. He's up, he's walking, he's reaching, he's grabbing, he's throwing. You know, it's just like that's his personality. So if we have another one of Dawson doing that, that could be problematic and quite stressful. But it's cool, man. Good things. So that's what's going on. You know, people are always asking about whether we move out of Rhode Island as well. Because
you were just talking about that like a month ago.
I know. Well, people always ask now because they're curious whether we're going to move or not, if we have a second one, because Ashley's very open about how much help her family is. And they are so helpful. They're so hands on. I don't know. I mean, you guys are, you know, in between, like, you're, because if you guys move to Denver, you've been thinking about keeping the place in Vegas, too. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have, I just don't know if we have the financial stability to keep two places, but who knows? We'll see. Plus Audrey's like, I need to be there a lot.
Well, we would rent our Vegas place out.
What's going on with the Colorado house?
We are still in talks and figuring out which one we want. But if we were to move to Colorado, we would hopefully find like long-term renters to live in our Las Vegas house. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to say goodbye to that super low mortgage rate.
Yeah, that's the goal. But so far I've fallen in love with five houses. We haven't gotten any of four or five.
Yeah.
But the newest one that I fell in love with as of yesterday has an ADU. So we could it's closer to Aspen than the previous houses were. So we could rent it out. People could like come for ski season, for fall, and make some money off of that. That's the goal at least.
Yeah. You guys could come and have a free place to stay whenever you wanted.
We'll charge you, but.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to charge double.
Free. No. When I said obviously. Free, I didn't actually mean free. Yeah. I mean, free. Charge double for it.
Yeah. It's not free. It's just free, yeah. Which means you still pay for it.
So we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. Kaylin seems to be more gung-ho about moving in sooner rather than later.
Well, and here's why. Because we keep hearing from our realtor that the market dies in the winter. Everybody wants to buy in Aspen in like spring, summer, fall. And then as soon as winter hits, all of the prices drop. So I feel like this is the best time. And I think, not that anyone knows, but I think prices are just going to keep going up. So I'm like, if these are the prices now, imagine what they're going to be a year from now.
But also you realize that February, or like winter's over in February, not in November.
Yeah, but I still want to look.
Yeah.
And if we find something, then let's snatch it.
But like, what if we waited four extra months and waited till February and that house dropped $200,000?
And what if someone bought it?
But what if it dropped $400,000?
So that's where we're
at. So that makes sense. So your realtor is saying that because prices will drop, people are going to jump on it more. So it'll be more competitive. So you should buy now. I'm confused.
Well, what we think is, since it's harder to sell a house in Colorado in the winter, if we wait until winter to buy the house, the seller will be more motivated to sell and come down and meet our asking price. But
the house we're looking at right now has already been on the market for like 100 some days and they've already dropped it in price. And we heard that they're pretty eager to sell. So hopefully, but honestly, the houses that we've seen on the site, they go so fast. We had probably 10 on our list. And I think 8 of those were pending within like 2 days.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily though. When we found them on the internet, they were already pending. It's not like we found them one day, they were for sale, the next day they were pending.
No. So our realtor sends us a list.
I'm right.
No, he sends us a list and then he texted us. We sent him a list of 10 and he was like, hey, these ones just became pending.
Okay. I'll just disagree, but I won't. Okay. I won't push you any further on it. But yeah, hopefully we get something there soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are in Jackson Hole right now.
Yeah, we're in Jackson Hole staying at Cloudvale Hotel. Jackson's a pretty dope spot. Have you ever been out to Jackson?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. There's some great mountains. The Grand Tetons are here. Yellowstone is right up the road. It's just a nice... It's actually the most expensive... I think it's the most expensive town in America. I'm pretty sure that's a stat.
More than Telluride?
More than Telluride. What, Telluride is so random to think that's the most expensive one. No, Jackson Hole, I'm pretty sure, is... Or maybe it saw the biggest increase in price over the past like 5 years or something like that. But yeah, it's like where old rich money comes to live, I guess. And so we're just walking around. We're hanging out. My brother lives an hour away, so he's going to come and hang out today, I think. And we're going to rock climb. Kaylin's not going to rock climb. She's going to shop,
I guess. That sounds fun.
Yeah, I guess. That's all we got, though.
Mm-hmm. I would probably rather shop than rock climb.
Yeah, yeah. I've had a messed up shoulder for the past couple weeks, so there's no chance I can lift myself off a mountain.
Gotcha. That's why you're not climbing.
There's a lot of reasons I'm not climbing.
Okay.
Probably death being first and foremost.
We'll see. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
After 2.5 years...
He was cheating... Mm-hmm. While you
were pregnant.
Were pregnant.
Yeah.
About 13 women?
More.
Like, if I would have stayed married to Max, I think he would have cheated forever.
Mm-hmm. It was just this toxic relationship.
Michael Cawthon returns to Wind Down with Jana Kramer.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Cawthon.
You don't want to miss this 3-part reunion. On iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
We went to Launch, which is an indoor trampoline park around here.
Dawson
loved it, but they had it was so much fun. He lost it. There was also like a mini adult obstacle course, kind of like American Ninja Warrior, which of course I had to try.
Yeah.
And so there was it was an easy, medium, and hard. So I was like, all right, let me do the medium one. It was fun. And I did it. It had one of those ladders. You know how the ladders are like it's pointed upwards and then you climb up the ladder. And then as you climb it,
teeters,
you know, takes your weight down. So I did that and had to swing across the rings. And then there was a rope and I had to like tally myself. I'm going to post about it because I'm very proud because I was able to complete
it.
I mean, I look like a jackass, but
I always see those videos and I'm like, dang, that looks like so much fun. But you completed the course.
I completed it. So the course is it's only probably like 5 or 6, you know, it's not that extensive, but it made me think, I wish that there was an adult obstacle course because I would go there. I wish the gym had an adult obstacle course because it was such a good workout, dude. My entire upper body, like I lift pretty consistently and I can feel when I'm gaining mass, but dude, doing that obstacle course, I never felt stronger in my life once I was done. Because it's amazing how carrying your own weight is, I think, even a better workout than actually lifting. So I was like, dude, if I could do an obstacle course, I would A, look forward to it, B, attend it more, and C, probably be in better shape than I am right now. Right. So my point being, Dean, is I can see your fascination with like rock climbing and hiking, because it's like,
why don't you just go to that gym every day?
It's not a gym. It's an indoor. It's a kid's trampoline park that they had a small portion for. I probably most likely teenagers, but I just took it as an adult section. So I was like, well, I'm going to do it.
Instead of your softball league, you should have a Ninja Warrior league.
Yeah, there you go. Did you try the hard portion of that obstacle course?
No. You know what it was too? There was two. So the guy was like, I've only seen one person complete the hard portion. So the last part of it, there's two like wooden planks that are probably like 3x3. And it's the ones where you have to hold on by the side with your fingertips and then like slide yourself across. I was like, bro, there's no way. My fingers are not that strong.
Yeah, Kaylin always thinks that I should do those shows. And whenever you like see someone that's actually really good at it do it, you realize how impossibly hard all of those things are.
Just because they make it look so easy. But we actually have been watching Special Forces. Have you watched it? The one Nick's on right now? Oh my gosh, I love it. It's so good. And I want Dean to go on it so bad because every single thing, he's like, that's easy, that's easy. And I mean, it looks impossible to me.
And I'm just talking shit the whole time too. But it's obviously not easy. It looks incredibly challenging. But I can't imagine, Kaylin, like, would you do it? Of those people leave after like 3 days.
No chance. Absolutely not. It, all of those shows that he wants to do, like, so this one, Special Forces, Survivor, even we were watching Amazing Race last night and we've talked about doing it for so long, but I'm like, shoot, maybe he would be better off with his brother than me.
Well, so I definitely would be.
Would be, yeah.
But it'd be more fun with you.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. It just, this season, everyone's complaining a lot more, so I'm like, shoot, maybe this isn't meant for me.
Well, Special Forces, I've heard, is only about 8 days of filming.
That's crazy to me. Just suffer for 8 days.
You just got to grind through it.
I can't imagine like Tara Reid and I can't remember many of the other names, but they were leaving after like 1 or 2 days. And it's like, you guys have been there for 2 days. I'm sure it sucks, but it's 2 days.
I do get where Tara Reid was coming from, where you have these guys that are like 250 pounds, like big muscular guys. Mm-hmm. And you have little small Tara Reid who's like, why am I carrying the same backpack as everyone else? Like this backpack is the size of me. So I do, you know, Tara complained a lot on that show for 1 day, but I do get where she was coming from in that point.
Yeah, I suppose that's true, but. Still, 8 days of filming. I didn't even know it was that short, but have you talked to Nick at all about it?
Not a little bit, not really. Ashley was the one, I think, who talked to someone about it because she told me, I was like, of course, we asked the same question. I'm like, Ashley, would you be able to do this? And she's like, I feel like I could do anything for 8 days. Like, I could do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I think you could do it. I think you could do it for 8 days too because you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Here's what I think would be so cool. Because I also like Special Forces. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I've been watching this. And I think it would be fun, Kaylin, the reason I asked if you would do it is if they did a, like, couples. Not Bachelor. Like, of course, they would have Bachelor, but they would have, you know, Vanderpump or different, like, you know, reality TV personalities. But there would be couples. And so they would have one from Bachelor. And it could be, like, you guys could be the first couple from Bachelor. And then there would be a couple from whatever. Housewives or stuff like that, because that would be an interesting dynamic if it was teams. And so it would be Dean and Kaylin versus so on and so forth, and to see that dynamic of you guys having to work together to achieve, you know, the goal. And I would find that interesting. I would find that very interesting.
It'd be a lot of me yelling at Kaylin, her crying and then yelling back at me, and then me getting angry at her. Great yelling TV. At me, so then I start yelling Great at her TV. Yeah. So let's not do that for the sake of our marriage.
Yeah,
but you guys would probably get paid a decent amount of money.
Yeah, I'll do anything. I'd do a lot of weird things for a lot of money. Nick actually is doing pretty well for himself this season, though, in that show.
I'm not shocked by that. Dude, I feel like Nick is underrated. He's always been underrated in the physical department because he's always been ripped. But like, I don't think a lot of people look at him as an athlete, so to speak. But dude, I'll never forget. We were playing pickup basketball one time and with one of Nick's buddies who had this beautiful court. He had an entire indoor court in his backyard and he had the Lakers emblem on it. It was sick. And it was five on. Dean, were you there? Did you play with us?
I don't think so.
All right.
Was it a Lakers player's house?
No. It was just a guy who's very rich and was a big Lakers fan. And he like builds an entire basketball court in his backyard. But we were playing and dude, I remember Nick is, you know, he wasn't the greatest basketball player, but like he just knew his role. Dude, he was like throwing bows at people. He must have grabbed 15 rebounds, had like 12 assists, and dude, he was just boxing people out and throwing people to the ground. Like, damn, bro, Nick, you're kind of strong, man. And you know, working out with him so many times as I did, like he's pretty strong. And when he signed up for special, and he's super competitive. He's so competitive. So when I found out he was on Special Forces, I was like, I think he's going to do pretty well. And good for him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he seems to be doing well. Him and Tyler are both doing pretty well. I mean, like, it's so hard not to be biased because, you know, Nick's our friend and Tyler, I've never met him, but adjacent to him socially. So I want them to do well, but I see them like compete in these challenges. I'm like, I don't really think anyone's going to be able to beat these guys.
I know. But also Hannah won last season.
Yeah.
And she was going against guys like, you know, Dwight Howard and all these professional athletes. So there's got to be, you know, there's obviously a mental portion to this that will showcase itself more towards the end. Because if it was just physical, then you're right. It would just be guys like Tyler and Nick who always win these seasons. So there's definitely more to it that, because I didn't finish watching the whole first season.
Yeah.
But there has to be some sort of mental and emotional part of it.
Yeah. Like what happens if not everyone wants to leave? Like they have to start eliminating people at some point, some way. I think Tyler's going to win. He seems like he's got it pretty well figured out.
I say Nick or JoJo Siwa.
But yeah, it's possible. I don't know. When Kelly Rizzo was leaving in the last episode, I was like, why don't you just do this, wake up tomorrow and then look back and be like, that sucked, but at least I'm still here.
Right. Like the hard part's over. Let's go.
Yeah. So I want to do Special Forces. If you're your casting director for that show and you're out there, you're listening to this podcast, get me on season 3. Kaylin loves the show and she wants to laugh at me. So
Hell yeah. Let's vocalize that. Cause that's, I feel like certainly not easy, but very, very plausible. Let's get Dean on Special Forces next season.
Oh yeah, I've been working. I don't know how much I can do, but after that, so we were watching
you
that and then Stars on Mars.
Stars on Mars. Isn't that the show Ashley was supposed to be on?
She is on it. She's on it for one episode.
Oh.
Okay, I wasn't sure. So I wasn't going to say anything because I wasn't sure if she had been on it already and what the deal was. But then that one came on. I was like, I could do that. That's something I think I could do.
Well, can you... Yes. Has Ashley been on it yet, or do you not? Are you not allowed to talk about it?
Oh
yet?
Yeah, so it's. I'm assuming you guys are streaming it because it's already aired.
Oh, well, gotcha.
Okay, so I only watched like half of one episode, and I was like, oh, okay, this seems like something that I could do if I were to go back on TV.
Wait, let's. I want to hear all about her experience if you're allowed to share it.
Of course, because it all aired. So she's talked about this. So she flew out. It was in Australia, dude. She got the call 2 days before she flew out. And they were like, you could be up, you know, here for about 2 weeks or so. And so, but we were able to figure it out, get her out there. She flew to Australia. She flew in on this small little plane because when they flew to some part in Australia and then actually had to fly to a location, they had to take like this tiny plane and it fit like 4 people on it. And she flew in with Paul Pierce, which was so cool.
Nice.
And I think his name is Andy Richter, the guy, Conan's buddy on the Conan show.
The chubby-ish comedian guy. I played golf with him before, actually. He's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It seems super nice. So she goes on, and then she's in, you know, the space holder, whatever. And it's so cool. She got to meet Marshawn Lynch, and she got to meet Lance Armstrong and Ronda Rousey and all these people. And she said they were all very nice. She loved Marshawn. She said Marshawn was the coolest guy ever. I'm like, good duh. Of course he is. So she goes on. They have one task. So they have, like, there's this... You know, there's air getting through or there's like gas or something. There's a gas leak that they have to plug up. So they go, they do that. And then everybody has their own individual task. Ashley's task was literally just putting her finger on like blocking this hole on the bottom. Because some people had to stand up and like reach up like this for like 2 hours to block the holes until they could fix it. Ashley's was literally on the closest to the ground. So she was just laying there for like an hour and a half with her finger in this hole, just chilling. It was very funny. It was really funny. And then, so fast forward, they come back from the mission. And this is when you start eliminating people. And the problem was there's really nobody to eliminate because everybody, they achieved the task. Everybody did their thing. So they had to eliminate the person that had the littlest to do. And it ended up being Ashley.
No way. That sucks. Oh my God. So it wasn't even like her own fault that she did what she was supposed to do, but she was given the easiest task.
Yeah, she was given the easiest task. So they're like, all right, you're not mission critical, I guess. So thank you, Ashley.
That's funny.
And then she went home.
Meanwhile, you're sitting next to like 6'8" Paul Pierce who can like reach any type of height, you know? So obviously like they wanted him to stick around.
Yeah, and then you have all these sports athletes like Marshawn or Richard Sherman was on it. He wasn't on it when she was there. But then Lance Armstrong and Paul Pierce and all these guys who are like, you know, athletes right. And could do things.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so she enjoyed doing that. I think it feels like Special Forces has tapped into something. I hope Stars on Mars does well. Like Ashley loved her time on there. We feel very honored that they even considered Ashley to go on. So like we really hope that she help the show in any way, and hopefully it gets renewed. But it feels like Special Forces has tapped into something within the reality TV sphere that is going to last a very long time.
Yeah. Well, there's been shows like that around for a while, like not in America, but there's that show in Australia, funny enough, you're just talking about it. Isn't it called like I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
Yeah.
That show seems pretty hilarious. And that's, it's obviously not the exact same as Special Forces, but it's kind of in the same vein of like putting these well-known people through the ringer and like making them suffer and then laughing at their expense kind of thing.
Well, and there's a UK version of Special Forces, which I think they took the idea from. And I heard it's like just as maybe a little bit less popular than Love Island. So Love Island became super popular. I don't know if this was their mindset. And then they were like, let's try incorporating more UK reality TV shows in the US.
So did Ashley fly to Australia, film one episode, and then fly directly back home?
Yep. She was gone for 48 hours, if that. And it took her, it's like a...
42-hour flight round trip.
18-hour travel. Yeah. 18, 20 hours. So she traveled more than she spent time on the show.
Well, hopefully they compensated her well enough to make it worth it.
Yes, it was very much worth it. We're very lucky and grateful for that. It was definitely worth it.
That's kind of why I want to go on one of those shows instead of like Survivor. Because Survivor, you go on, you only get $1 million if you win. But Stars on Mars, you go on, I'm not saying she got $1 million, obviously, but you're still getting a nice little chunk of change for any one episode that you're on.
Yeah, and I feel like there's, because we're, you know, it's different than when we were first on the show. We're, like you said, Survivor, right? Survivor is a show where it's very similar to Bachelor. You pluck these people from everyday life and put them on TV. So we're not getting paid because we're not, like, you know, we're not names, you know?
Right.
Now it's different. Like, Dean, if you went on Special Forces, I don't think you would get paid per episode. I think you would have a fee. And then, you know, they would offer you a certain amount of money to do this show. And it's not like if you last this long, you'll get this amount of money. I think you'll just get a flat fee and then go on the show.
I agree. I think that's right. But I would say, like, for things like that that I want to do, I would almost be like, I'll just do it for free.
Oh my gosh. She says this about everything.
We talked about last week a little bit too. It's like, I would just do it for free.
No, you wouldn't.
If they were like, hey, we have one more spot, but we don't have any more budget, will you just come do it for us? I'd be like, 100%. Yeah, I'm there. Stars on Mars, I would do it for free.
Really putting your foot in your mouth here. If they want to cast you, they know they don't have to spend a cent.
Hey, perfect. If that's what it takes to get me on the show, for them to know that they don't have to spend a single dollar on me, I'm in. I don't know
what it's going to take.
It seems like it's fun enough to make it for free. Yeah, yeah. But I guess we'll get to that when we come to it. But yeah, that's my dream, is Special Forces or Survivor or Amazing Race with my wife or my brother or Stars on Mars with Neil Armstrong.
No. Got to focus on Special Forces because there's definitely going to be a season three. So we got to get you on Special Forces season three, because I'm assuming, it feels like this show is doing very well. They're probably going to do a season three very quickly.
When do they film? Do you know? In the summer?
I have no idea. I don't know. But I would imagine that they're going to just keep pumping it out, because the first season, was earlier this year, right? It was, I think, springtime when it aired, and then they filmed, and then now it's fall and there's another one. So assuming there's probably going to be another Special Forces that airs, you know, sometime in the spring next year, which means they'll probably start filming here in the winter of 2024. So, because they could film anywhere in the world, you know, they can go, it doesn't, you know, wherever they're going to film. Yeah.
If you want to be cold, you can just go to the other hemisphere.
Got
to
get the campaign out there, because they'll put you on. You're a big name, part of Bachelor.
I don't know if I'm big enough of a name to be put on, but that's why I'm saying I'll work for free. I'll give them free labor. Controversial. Thank you very much. I was watching last episode, and I don't know how I would fare on that show, but like the boxing portion of it, I'm not a fighter, obviously. Would I get rocked? Probably, but it'd be fun.
Yeah, but that's the point.
Yeah.
Like, everybody wants to see us reality TV personalities just get punched in the face. That's the point of the show.
Hey, Hillary Burton Morgan here, and I am excited to share with you a new series I'm launching, a companion podcast to my passion project, Sundance TV's True Crime Story, It Couldn't Happen Here. Now, on the show, we focus on small towns and the crimes that can rip them apart. The cases we've covered have confused me, and they have made me deeply question our judicial system. What got me so excited about doing this podcast is that we have more time to really dig in. So you're going to hear more information on these cases, as well as never-before-heard interviews. And you'll get to go behind the scenes with me and the team and learn what it's like to make a show like this. Come join us as we get curious and get involved. Listen to True Crime Story, It Couldn't Happen Here, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, that episode was crazy because Sandoval was just, he's like, stop. And he just keeps punching Nick. I was like, dude, he said stop like 10 times. You got to stop punching him.
Yeah.
So I didn't say what happened?
Sandoval and Nick fought.
Like a fist, like a boxing match.
Yep.
And what happened? Sandoval won. We thought Nick was winning the whole time, but then Sandoval just like, I don't know. We were like, I bet he's upset because Nick talked so much crap about him when the whole Sandoval went down. But the guy said stop, and Sandoval just kept going after him. So then they're like, this guy's too fiery, so he's got to fight someone else. So then he fought Jack Osborne, and Jack won.
Nick lost?
It seemed pretty even, honestly.
It's not like he lost. They like would spar with each other for a couple minutes, and then the lead guy would be like, yeah, you won, you lost. But like no one was eliminated or anything. It was basically just trying to get people punched.
Yeah, that makes sense. We haven't talked about dating once this episode, have we?
Oh, shucks. But
I know. Oh, you know what? Who cares? Honestly, this is so much more interesting anyway. But what I want to do before we get going, because I know time is quickly getting away from us, was that there was an article that I wanted to talk to you guys about. It was from this TikToker who's a dating coach. Her name is Sabrina Zohar. She's 33. She has over 400,000 followers on TikTok. But the point is, this clip went viral. It says three red flags to look out for early in dating. What was your biggest red flag that you guys looked for? Like what early in dating, you meet someone, like what's your biggest red flag?
I need to think for a second. Do you know?
I think one of my biggest red flags, I've talked about this numerous times coming from hospitality, is how people
wait
treat
staff.
Their bartenders and wait staff. Yeah. Dude, you're rude to them. The biggest quote unquote ick. That's what the kids are saying these days. Also, I got another ick too. I go to Planet Fitness. It's near a college. There's a lot of college boys and girls that go to this gym. And there was legit, an ick is when girls and guys dance at the gym to the music they're listening to in their headphones. It's like nobody else is listening to the music that you're listening to. And like, I get like you're pumping yourself up. You got to nod your head. But dude, I legit, there was these girls that like, they were literally like this. They were like,
they were doing TikTok dances.
Like not on camera, in the mirror, just like looking at like, and then they would look at each other and they're like bopping their head. And then it's like, dude, shut.
Does that mean we're getting older?
Yes, it does.
Get off.
But
my
I do
lawn.
Agree with you. I do agree with you very, very much so. I'm trying to think back of what my red flags were from dating. It was hard for me to find something I didn't like in someone on the first couple dates. On the first couple dates. And then after those first few dates, then it hit me like a freaking flood of things. I was like, oh, I hate this and this and this and this and this about you. I don't ever want to see you again.
I feel like mine was kind of similar. I don't know. It's easy, excuse me, to get the ick from guys. I'm trying to think like the brief time I dated in LA, I just hated when people name dropped. I'm like, okay, cool. You hung out with Tobey Maguire once. Like, sweet. I don't know. Things like that were just kind of off-putting.
Did somebody name drop Tom McGuire to you?
That was a very specific thing to remember.
Yeah. Actually, a girlfriend did a couple months ago, and that's just top of mind. But yeah, I don't know. Things like that.
Okay, it's fair enough. I'm still trying to think back. Like if a girl is super into astrology. Astronomy?
Astrology.
Astrology.
If she's into astronomy, that's pretty cool.
That'd be dope. That would be really cool. But astrology is a bit of a red flag. Yeah, let's talk about the planets and stars. Yeah. Gosh, I'm trying to think what else. But yeah, LA's tough because it's LA's great because there is such a large number of beautiful people there and interesting people. And when you're single and you live in LA, you just kind of get spoiled because every time you're going on a date with someone, you're going on a date with the hottest person that would be from your hometown. You know, like the ugliest person I went on a date with in LA was still hotter than the hottest person I went on a date with in Colorado. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Not a nice way to put it, but yeah.
Well, just from a physical standpoint.
A Colorado 7 is like a LA 4.
Exactly. Yeah. A Colorado 10 is like an LA 7. So for different reasons. But part of that too is like my brother, I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast or not, or I was just thinking about it the other day. My brother, when I was a kid, I was like maybe 15 and he had just come back from San Diego because he was like 20 or something. He was like, man, San Diego's great because everyone there is so beautiful. You can't act like the most beautiful person in the world because you have so much competition with all these other beautiful people around you. Whereas if you were in Colorado and you were that beautiful, you could just be the nastiest piece of crap because everyone will bend to your will because you're so beautiful.
I have a question. Do you guys think the people are hotter in San Diego or LA?
I haven't really spent enough time in San Diego. Mm. I would say LA.
I guess it just depends what you're into because San Diego's more like surfer.
I mean, I'm more into that laid back lifestyle, but LA, there's just such a bigger pool to choose from. But also, I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast either. Part of what makes LA great is being single and living in that city. And that's why people spend all that money to live there. But once you get into a relationship, it's like, what are we paying all this money?
I don't know. Our friends are all married and still living there.
Yeah. No, we have like two friends.
Yeah. Our two friends are married and still living there.
But their jobs keep them there, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. What were we talking about again? Sorry, I went on a long rant there.
Red flags. From the TikToker. All right, here we go. Number one. Let's get back. Number one, the first red flag that she says to look for early on in a relationship is that when both parties start to over-idealize the situation. So you know that if someone is too into you in the beginning of the relationship, they may be love bombing you. They can't get to know you at the level within one or two dates. So don't fall for it. You need to set boundaries and ask your crush to slow things down if they start doing this to you. Dude, I don't know. It's so hard. Like when you're early in a relationship, it's just like there's, you know, the endorphins and all that crap. And just like you just want to see the person. So is it love bombing? I guess it could be, but it also could be just a sign of someone that's really into you.
I've never been love bombed before, but
I'm sure you have.
I don't think so. I think what happens is when you start dating someone and you're really into them, you start defining their parts of themselves for them. And then the more you get to know them, the more they fill it in for themselves. And so you start to be disappointed that it doesn't equate to what you had assumed that they were going to be, you know, like you're filling in the blanks for them. And then eventually they start filling it in for themselves. And that's what I've noticed as well too in relationships, not in relationships, but like in dating, I guess a long time ago in the past. But yeah, I've never been love bombed. I'm sure I've love bombed a few times.
Yeah. In high school.
Probably. What about you?
Have I love bombed?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Have you been love bombed?
Oh, yeah. There's some weird guys in LA.
give us some examples.
The love bombing?
Yeah.
I don't know. There was just like this weird guy. And I feel like guys' egos in LA are so big. So if you ghost them or turn them down, they get super upset. And they're like, well, I'm great. So why? I don't know. I feel like I've experienced that. I don't know how to explain it really.
Okay.
Have you guys ever experienced a relationship early on where you just were so obsessed with a person, then after a few dates, after like everything, you know, wore off, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I don't like you as much as I initially thought.
100%. And that's kind of what I was saying earlier too, is I would go on a couple dates and I'd be like, wow, this person is perfect. But I was defining who I thought they were to myself versus letting them show me who they were. And then you get to know them better and you're like, oh wait, this person actually kind of sucks. For me, sucks for me, not sucks, just sucks for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. So the second red flag is kind of bouncing off that. She says, number two is monopolizing your social time. Again, she gets it. It's so exciting when you meet somebody you really like and you want to spend all their time with them. But she says this is actually a bad tactic because you need to live your own life. She said that if someone is attempting to alienate you from your friends or spend all of their time with you, it actually can be a sign of possessiveness.
Interesting. I'll keep on rambling, yeah. I guess. This girl that I dated in high school was dating a guy before me. And I was like, why did you guys break up? And she said that he would always cancel his plans with his friends to hang out with her. And I was like, that sounds really nice of him. And she goes, no, I hate it so much. And so ever since then, I'm like, oh, okay. Got to make sure you have your own social life going on then.
That imprinted in your brain that early?
I had a very formative brain at the time. It was like Play-Doh. You could mold it any way you wanted. And she molded it.
For better or for worse. Is this the same one that said, if you're accusing me of cheating, I might as well cheat on you?
Same exact one. Yeah.
Yeah. Sound logic right there. Yeah. I mean, we all have those friends that as soon as they start dating someone, you just don't see them anymore for a very long time.
Yeah. I was thinking that one of my best friends has been dating her boyfriend for, I don't know, like 5 months now. And usually when my friends start a new relationship, I'm like, all right, I won't see you for like 2 to 3 months. It's whatever. It's how it is a new relationship. She never went through that. And I'm really proud of her because she is a very dependent person. And she was just like, you know, we're going to have our own social lives. And I don't know if that's just dating as you're getting older, but like, I thought it was super healthy.
Yeah. I'll make sure to recall this exact conversation next time I want to go play golf and you're getting mad at me.
Okay.
I'll be like, it's healthy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It sucks because Ashley's the one who'll just tell me it's not healthy and she wants to spend all the time with me, which is so great and wonderful. But also, like, I want to golf. The third flag, Sabrina says, is selective listening. I feel like this is something Dean suffers from. There are specific things that you said about things that pertain to them. But when it comes to your boundaries and non-negotiables, they just kind of forget. She says this person is actually self-centered. So what do you guys think about selective listening as the third flag? Do you agree?
I don't really fully understand it.
I think she's saying that, Dean, like in the beginning of the relationship for you and Kaylin, if you were like, Kaylin, there's, you know, within a relationship, this is the one thing that would really bother me if it ever happened. And she's like, yeah, of course, of course. And then later on, like 3 months down the line, she's doing that thing. And you're like, but I said that's, you know, important that it doesn't happen. And she's like, oh, I don't even remember you saying that. I feel like that happens sometimes, but it's also tough. Because it's like, I don't know. Sometimes Ashley says things to me and it's like in passing almost, but it's important to her. But I don't know it's important to her because she just kind of says it and doesn't say it with any matter of factness. So I don't really take it as that. And then, of course, I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of vaguely remember you saying that. And she's like, well, I did say it, and it was very important to me. And I'm like, well, listen, if something's very important to you, please let me know that it's important. Because sometimes when you say things, I don't really know what's important, what's not important. Because then you'll say something and then I'll keep that in my head. And then I'll make sure I don't do it. And then she'll be like, well, that doesn't really matter. Like, you can do that if you want. Well, then I'm like, okay, well, what is important and what's not important? Because we need to really make these lines clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dean does that sometimes.
I knew you were going to say that, which is because you do it all the time.
No, and Dean will say, he's like, no, you can't do that. You know, my memory is bad. So he'd... What?
I just think that's so silly of you to say because you do it more often than I do.
Okay. Oh my gosh. You're just in a sassy mood today.
I'm not. What do you mean? I'm not in a sassy mood at all.
Okay. Then explain.
No, you keep going. You were on one. My brain is slow, so it doesn't work very well sometimes. Mm-hmm. What? Are you done? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. We both have selective listening, I guess. Communication is just hard, man.
You know, it's not easy. It's not easy. Well, that's why sometimes... You just suck at being a newlywed, you know?
Wow. Trust me. The podcast gets truer and truer every single day. But it really does. That's why we're all here, is to improve. We did have some emails, but I guess we don't have time to get to them today. Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, we'll do them next week. Save the emails for next week, baby.
We got some emails for next week. So if you are tuning in for the emails today, we apologize, but I guess that just means you're going to have to tune in next week. Where maybe we suck just a little bit less. I wasn't sure if I was ready to end it just yet at that moment. But I got myself there, and so I almost gave myself no choice.
It just, it was like a Tarantino twist. Like, it just fit everything so perfectly.
It's like when you expect the movie to be 2 hours long, and then it ends at like an hour and 15 minutes into it, and you're like, wait a second.
But it was just such a perfect ending.
Jared, I want you to end it for us, because I I feel like that's probably the best way for us to do it.
All right, great. Well, we'll have emails for next week. Caitlin, myself, Dean, we'll all be back from parts unknown. And make sure you tune in because, I can't guarantee we're going to suck any less, but we're going to try.
We're going to try.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Help We Suck at Being Newlyweds.
And email us at newlyweds@iheartradio.com.
Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. We'll see you next time.